This is Magic with a BelowTopSecret.com member podcast reply to Paul Richard on the topic of Magic's Big Adventure, Volume 7. Hey, shout out to Brother Avadar, Paul Richard there. Starting off with the technical point you mentioned, I'm really interested in seeing you get into podcasting, and I think that that would be an extraordinarily positive thing. I don't have a separate hard drive for my audio files, and I just have one big partition. And I've been doing that for years, and I've never seen a problem that I could attribute to that. In fact, really, I've never seen a problem that would even suggest that. As far as I know, audio and music files are still just files as far as the operating system is concerned. And certainly there are application layer kind of things that deal with them, but I don't think that, I mean, you know, it's your computer, your choice, but, you know, for what it's worth, I've never seen the need to keep them separate. As far as hardware and stuff, if you've got a sound card, and even if you don't have a microphone, you can get cheap microphones at like Radio Shack or whatever, and they don't have to be that great. You can get some very good sound quality from a real cheap microphone, from, you know, as long as it's not really bad. Just plug that into the sound card and away you go. Most computers these days come with microphones, and if you bought a pre-made system, you've probably got one sitting in a box somewhere. I know I've got microphones all over the place from various incarnations of computers. Anyway, let's get on to the spiritual topics. And I'll just go point by point through your reply in the thread for this pod thread. Skepticism. I think that is not just a thing for above top secret, but for a spiritual point of view as well. It is so easy to fall into all these different traps that spirits set, and that's one of the things about spirits, especially demons. I mean, the only real power they have is the power to deceive. And of course, they use that power. I mean, they have a lot of time to sit around and figure out how they can trick people, because that's basically their angle. That's all they can, you know, they want. That's the only way they can gain control over others, is to deceive them. So that's why, you know, we associate deception, and we, you know, demons are deceptive. So the solution, the way to deal with that, is to be skeptical and not believe everything voices in your head tell you. That's just good advice in general. As far as this fate of demonic forces, the way I tend to think of this, and actually this is true of anything that you and I tend to see differently or maybe disagree on, is I think that we're kind of like the blind man in the room with the elephant. And you might be standing by the trunk and I'm standing by the tail, and we're reporting different characteristics of what is really, I think, the same thing. So, and, you know, of course, each of us is subject to our own errors of interpretation, so that complicates things. In the case of the fate of demons, where you see them descending and disappearing into oblivion, I see them essentially falling off the radar, but not necessarily being destroyed. And it, you know, it's one of those, how can you prove it either way, right? In terms of how that fits into this whole cycles of creation thing, which could also be wrong, although, I don't know. I feel pretty strongly there's something to that somewhere. And I think there's some Buddhists out there that know what I'm talking about, maybe some Hindus. The problem with spirits being destroyed, and by the way, if you look at the Bible too, you'll notice that the book of Revelation, John predicts people being thrown into the lake of fire, but he does not predict anyone being destroyed. And actually, it's a very Christian concept that spirits cannot be destroyed. That you may go to heaven or you may go to hell, but one way or the other, you're still going to exist. And so this non-destructibility of spirits is not something that's unique to me. But again, maybe we're all wrong on that. I think what's going on here, though, is that maybe because we can't sense a spirit that has fallen into darkness doesn't mean it has ceased to exist. It just has passed beyond our ability to detect it. And I think that they can come back eventually. It's not easy. And, you know, you fall into darkness like that, it can be hard to come back out. But I don't think they're destroyed. And we can disagree on that. That's fine. Point three here, the herd of cats, and the whole notion of pride. Absolutely. I see a lot of these so-called gurus and stuff that seem to get wrapped up in themselves. And that is the surest way, vanity. And, the funny thing about vanity is what makes it so tricky is, you can be prideful and oversell yourself, but it's another kind of vanity is false modesty. And, oh, no, I'm not good. And, I'm really good. No, I'm not. And that's just another form of pride. It's another form of deception. I'm totally with you on that. That's the greatest thing that faces anyone who tries to follow a spiritual path to enlightenment is getting there and going, oh, wow, hey, I'm so enlightened. The world is at my feet. And sure enough, that's when they just completely go down the wrong road. With regards to point four here, the red discarnate, the energies and red radiance and the whole spectrum and dominant aura colors. Yeah, I'm seeing very strong correlations between that. There definitely seems to be something of a color code, and I still think that that's us mapping our concept of colors to it, but hey, whatever works, right? Point five here, with regards to group entities and world religions, yeah, I think there's something to that. And really, if you look at the nature religions, I have a lot of family and friends that are Christians, and I see a lot of overt things that suggest, that, there really is a spiritual intervention, and there are groups of spirits that are, essentially pushing the religion. And I don't think that that, by the way, is always necessarily a sinister thing. I think it's natural for spirits, especially right after death, to want to band together just for a sense of mutual support. And think about it. If a spirit that, you died horribly and tragically, and your options are angels will come and help you, and the price is that you basically become one of them, or demons will come and attack you, and there's no one helping you out. That angels coming and help you is not such a bad thing. So, I see where you're coming from, though. And from the standpoint of independent mystics, obviously we see those as things to avoid because we prefer our intellectual freedom. But looking at it from the standpoint of some kind of moral judgment, no, I don't think there's anything wrong with people joining group entities. In fact, it seems that the majority of spirits seem to find that to be a rather valuable strategy for getting by in the spirit world. So, different ways of looking at that. Point six, heart chakra radiance. Absolutely. Absolutely. I talk about crown chakra, but heart chakra radiance, that is the bread and butter. Like you said, the most important facet of entire soul's teaching, and that is the right place to put that. Spiraling and I do some other things like, beacon exercises and stuff like that. They're very similar to what I did as a sorcerer. I use kind of like the spotlight technique, if you will, and visualize energy flowing out as like a searchlight and expanding my, awareness with that kind of a visualization exercise. And that has paid off pretty well. I mean, that technique is one of the ways that I got a hold of what I think are these Buddhas. And again, it's hard to kind of tell, but they have a very sincere radiance of love and light. So that's a good thing. As you mentioned, point seven here with the spiraling. I'm kind of simplifying that. There's the whole visualization of spiraling there's a lot of different ways you can do that. And it's not just spiraling. There's a lot of other visualization exercises that people can do to just get into, just be able to, exercise that mental muscle of getting energy basically exercising what amounts to your imagination. And, when you look at the nature of spirituality and thought and in existence, we tend to devalue imagination when in fact that is going to be the tool. That's the tool you use. Sort of like with lucid dream and everything else. In the spirit world, it's not a question of pushing buttons. It's a question of using your will and having enough control over your will to actually achieve things. And I can talk about that more, without drawing it on too long on it here. Your point eight with regards to watching out, with regards to powerful visions and things like that. Yeah, and it's easy to forget, and I frequently forget that. And so this whole something big thing may all be deception, and I have to take that into account. And ironically, it's like I'm kind of hoping that that is. I'm not really all that big on the prophet gig. I, one minute I'm like, oh, I'm a prophet. Next minute I'm like, oh, come on. No, no way. So, but yes, your point is right. Just because something seems, you know, powerful and convincing, and hey, you know, even that the convergence vision, you know, that was very powerful, but maybe that was a deception too, and I have to take that into account. Let's see, what else here? Yes, colors. That's very important. So I think you're right with regards to using the colors for discernment. And of course, discernment is your thing that you do. So when you give advice like that, it is wise for me to take it. Looking over, you know, the so-called rebuttal here, not exactly what I would call a rancorous debate. And like I said, I think that where we disagree on some things, it's probably more a matter of looking at the same thing in different ways rather than just being off in completely different universes. So, you know, and obviously as time goes by, we'll no doubt, you know, we'll flesh these out and kick them around. And that's one of the reasons I want to see you get into Podspace, because you know, using this medium, we can really cover a lot of ground. And that is, I think, just, you know, impossible to overemphasize how wonderful that is. Anyway, without droning on too much longer, I just wanted to get back to you on that and take advantage, of course, of this cool podcast medium. So, this has been a BlowTopSecret.com member podcast reply by magic to Paul Richard, alias Brother Avatar, on the subject of Magic's Big Adventure, Volume 7, which dealt with the Society of Light. And until next time, this is Magic, signing out.